Close enough. It's 6 o'clock according to myself. All right. Motion to adopt amended agenda. I need a motion and a second.
So move.
A motion, I need a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. As you take a look at the minutes from May 21st, I'll ask for a motion and a second on that.
So move, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion from Ed. Second. Any more discussion? Dan. You second, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Public open forum. Pat, do we have any on a public open forum? Oh, yes, we do. All right. And the way we have a microphone here for, looks like Judy Weiss will be speaking. And then right on the top of your board packet, it'll show how we handle the open forum.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. I'm Judy Weiss, retired librarian from the Foley Public Library. And I'm here because of Great River Regional's decision to merge the Foley and Royalton libraries. And I'm here at the request of the Foley City Council, the Foley Library Board, and Foley patrons. I want to tell you that this decision was done with a lack of respect or consideration for the Foley community. Administration made an issue of having a community meeting in Benton County where they asked the community what they wanted for their library. The community now has told them, and they're being ignored. Granted, branches have been merged, but a Foley-Royalton merger would be unique. Merging was not addressed when the LSC was hired in at the Royalton branch in 2016. The strategic plan was the same at that time, and other mergers had taken place at that time also. Local governmental agencies have given opposition to this merger. The actual hiring process seems oddly unique. In most cases of a branch merger, there's been an interim LSC appointed to fill the vacancy. Foley's library assistant carried the workload of the LSC for 6 weeks. She has proved herself outstanding at all library tasks. Administration had said they are merging to make the LSC positions more desirable and to retain staff. This has not been the result. Not all merged libraries have retained their LSCs. The Foley City Council was told by GRL administration, you'll like her. This was at a city council meeting when they referred to the job candidate. Not, I think you'll like her. Like has nothing to do with job performance or suitability. Would a proper applicant apply for the position without visiting the Foley Library? Would a proper applicant apply for a position where she knows little about the community or its politics? Is it a wise use of funds to hire one library service coordinator for two libraries, then hire two library assistants each for 10 hours a week? The 10-hour jobs are just the type of job administration said they were trying to eliminate to retain staff. They could have hired the current Foley library assistant at the Foley LSC and then hired one new library assistant to replace her hours. Interviewing seems to be Great River Regional Library's forte. Why talk of a Foley-Royalton merger? Haven't the mergers been done by the branches that are closest to one another? Piers is 19 miles from Royalton. There's a 29-mile difference between Foley and Royalton. Administration says hiring more staff makes a bigger team and each person can specialize in a different type of programming. Does that mean library assistants will also travel between locations? That would have little positive effect on staff retention. The Foley staff has previously worked on programs for all ages. There's little need for specialization. The Foley Library is the only library in Benton County. This is not the case with other GRL branches. For what Bend County pays GRL in taxes for one library, they deserve to have someone employed who is a community member and pays taxes in Benton County. Foley City Council members have asked their library board to research other library options, like withdrawing from Great River Regional Library System. I thought I'd been enjoying my retirement, not once again be trying to help mend a broken relationship between GRL and the Foley community. Let's put respect for communities back in GRL. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you. And to address Judy's concerns, and Karen, please correct me if I'm wrong, you'll be going out to Benton County on the 19th of August to, at what time was it again? I know it was like 10 o'clock in the morning or something.
During the budget presentations, 10:15.
Okay, so would you be able to handle any questions if that case out there?
Yeah.
All right.
Just one comment on that. I know it was a concern at the Board of Commissioners about the merger, being Benton County has one library. And I tend to agree with Judy Weiss that the distance between, you know, Royalton and Piers, or Royalton and Foley would make a lot more sense to me if it was a Piers Royalton merger than what it is this way. So, but all we right. do, you know, we try to make the library the best it is.
Thank you. Any more comments on that this time? If not, any more from the public forum? Does not look like it. We'll be moving on to the financials. 5.1. I'll ask for a motion and approval for the pay the bills.
So moved.
I have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'll turn the financial report over to Lisa. Any comment? Or excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not there. My fault. Financial reports on 5.2. Need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, I have a motion from Jane. Need a second?
I'll second.
All right, Lisa, thank you. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Consent agenda, I think we can do all of them at once. 6.1, 6.2, 6.3, Arts and Culture Heritage. Arts and Culture Heritage 2020, 2018, and the Great River Board 2020 meeting work session. I'll need a motion for more discussion. I have a motion from Mary. I need a second.
Agenda. All items.
I'll second that.
All right, I have a second. Any more discussion on all three of these items? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Minnesota Public Library Report Acceptance Letter.
Is an acceptance of our state report. So just provided for your information.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that? 7.2. Wi-Fi hotspots. 8.1.
That is Jamie.
I bet you. Oh, okay. I just see Jay would do that.
No, that's not Jamie.
Maybe it's not going to turn green. The battery is running a little low. Good evening, I'm Jamie Trenum, Associate Director of Collection Development, and it's been a while since I have been at a board meeting to talk collection. We have had some new materials that we've added in the past couple of years, and Karen thought it might be nice for me just to highlight a couple. You've heard in my management reports before, we do have telescopes that are circulating. So this is the trash can that has been referred to several times. It looks nicer than your average hefty. But we also have our memory boxes and binge boxes and brain fitness kits. Non-traditional items are kind of where it's at in library land right now. So circulating things that make it easy for our patrons to try a new hobby, for example, without having to invest in all of the equipment. with the telescopes is a nice tie-in with our STEM programming, makerspaces, things of that, getting kids interested in science. And the really unique thing is that all of these are funded through fund development through our donors. So that's really exciting as well. The latest is our Wi-Fi hotspots. So it's hard to believe that years ago computers were very, very large. And now we have in this little box a device that you can connect up to 15 devices to the internet. So why Wi-Fi? This is a new trend as well in library land. And in Minnesota particularly, access to high-speed internet is increasing, but it's still an issue across our state. And especially in the library world, where we work to make sure that our residents have access to county services, who, if you can apply for a job, often it's online. Public assistance forms are often online, as well as some of the materials that we offer, e-books, et cetera, are online. So offering Wi-Fi at home is a way for folks who either don't have access to reliable internet or can't afford it to be able to have access for a period of time to try it out and see what it's like. I'm trying to get this open. If you have a device, if you look on your Wi-Fi networks, you will see the Peers Library hotspot as an option. And up to 15 devices can connect. It is protected with a password, which is GRL Wi-Fi to go. It's not a secret. So let me see. So why Wi-Fi? We talked about it's essential for many functions. And one of our service priorities is access. And it just is a nice fit with our strategic plan as well as the strategic plan of many of our counties. In terms of the process, I connected with several different library systems, both within the state as well as nationally, using resources from the Public Library Association and contacts through Cersei Dynex, which is our ILS. One of the biggest issues that people experience, that libraries experience, is supply and demand. Demand for the service far outpaces the supply. And so when we looked at piloting this, I always like to start with a pilot project. Start small, test things out, see what works, what doesn't. There's always something unexpected that arises. And I can pass this around so that people can see what it looks like. There, Wayne. and it just helps us work out the kinks. And so I researched different service providers. And knowing that we had a significant donation from our peers community, and there is also a need for connectivity in that region, I looked for a provider that would have the best coverage. So this runs through the mobile cell towers. I looked at Sprint, I looked at Verizon, and this is a T-Mobile hotspot because it had the best coverage and the best pricing for that particular area. So that's what we thought we would try out. What's kind of unique is that it's sort of a lucky day collection item. It's first come, first serve. We have 5 devices. They have been checked out. We debuted this in mid-May, and they have been checked out a combination of 40 times. So if you think about it, it's been 8 weeks since we put these devices on the shelf. They have been out more than they have been on the shelf, which is great. And the patron response has been pretty tremendous. Folks are very enthused that they can basically check out the internet. Some of the feedback we've received is kids working on papers at home, doing research from home outside of library hours, folks did some updates on their devices at home that require, you know, if you are trying to update a device and you get booted off the Wi-Fi, then you have to start all over again. And this was a very steady connection for somebody. What else is the feedback? One mom said it worked too well, that it kept the kids very busy inside instead of being outside. And we've heard, get more if you can. So we've had about 8 checkouts per device, and that's, you know, they've been out over the 8 weeks more than they've been in. And this has been a very kind of quiet project. It's just word of mouth within the peers community and in the library. We haven't advertised this. So far, it's been a real success. They check out for 1 week. Overdue fines are $1 a day. We did have one that was significantly overdue. By significant, I mean a week. And I have the ability to turn the connection off. Sure enough, the device was back in the book drop on Monday. I turned it off on a Friday. So that kind of did the trick. It's useless if you don't have the service. But for the most part, everyone has been very respectful, returned it very quickly. And the only other challenge we've encountered is that if you hold the power button for too long, it resets the network name. And so it goes back to being Alcatel, the device name, instead of Peers Library. And so that's nothing that's insurmountable, but it was just sort of unexpected. We didn't know that could happen until it did. So if you have any questions or concerns, please let me know. Again, this is a pilot project. We're just trying to determine what the best use case would be. You know, is it a 1 week checkout? Is it a 3 week checkout? Is this something that we offer all throughout the region? Obviously, there is a cost for it. So it is a limited resource, but don't fight.
They keep passing it back to me to open it.
Oh, gotcha.
Not open, let me do it.
Yeah, you know, that has been one of the biggest challenges with all of these non-traditional items is to find an appropriate container to put things in. And this is a little harder to close and open than I would like. But it does do the trick. So if you have questions, Mary?
I do, Jamie. Thank you. So we should get 100 more, 200 more?
Well, what's the cost?
Yeah. The cost is $29 a month per device. And so if we were looking at 100 devices, that would be about $35,000 a year.
Plus the maintenance or the annual connectivity.
Mm-mm. That's
no,
the whole.
That's it?
Yeah.
Is there a bulk price or anything?
That kind of is the government bulk price. They basically throw in the device for free.
How many locations do you need this?
How many need this? I think that all of our libraries, if we had them, they would fly off the shelves.
I'm sure, but how many need it?
Well, it depends on how you define need. I do have, I can pass this around. This is a map from Deed, just showing what areas are connected versus underserved and not served at all. And you can see the aqua blue shading is where there is.
I'm eagerly anticipating 1956.
Quiet, please.
You know, the state has a goal of by 2026 that everyone is going to have this high-speed connection. We're not there yet. You can see it's sort of a mottled mess in terms of, you know, the coverage isn't necessarily where you would expect it. And even when there is high-speed connectivity, it doesn't mean that everyone can afford it. And so there's multiple ways we could look at doing this. We could have 100 devices and people could place holds. It could be a first-come, first-serve model where each library gets a certain number of devices. In Sonoma County, they overlaid the school reduced and free lunch map over the county as well as other factors just to determine allocations. You know, you could make a case, I think, in all of our communities that they need it. They might need it for different reasons. You know, I know out in Belgrade, there's one-to-one, and the connectivity is very, very poor in western Stearns County. So kids have assignments but don't necessarily have the Wi-Fi or the connection to do it.
You have to get a hold of the county commissioners there.
So is it in any way being used for streaming stuff? Because my concern is my teenager is right now on a binge of 8 hours on Stranger Things, the third season. And so it's like, oh, my God, when are the 8 hours going to be open? Is that something kids could use or adults could use it for?
They could use it for that. We don't offer that service through the library right now. But if you had a Netflix account or something like that or Amazon Prime at home, it could be used for that. A lot of the service providers have caps on the data, and T-Mobile claims that there is no cap, and so I've not heard of anyone experiencing a slowdown because all of the data has been used up, for example. But yes, the connection is strong enough and reliable enough that you could stream using it.
Is there somewhere we could stop that?
You want us to control your child?
Yeah. Oh, personal to me.
There might be some device management that you could do.
Jane,
but
if I may, obviously this $29 is like a lease maintenance agreement. Is that what it is? So if they break or something, they will repair them? Is that how that works?
The $29 per month is the service fee. If the device is lost, broken, stolen, etc., we would need to pay for a new device. That cost is passed on to the patron. And the whole kit is $100. To replace the device is about $80.
So it's a service. Basically, it's like a cell phone service.
Mm-hmm.
And they're charging you $29 a month per whatever, which is reasonable, I guess. You know, so... my question would be then, this money, I don't know where it comes from, which is, you know, we don't have to discuss that, but once these go out to the patrons, what's the time period? You know, you said that you'll shut it off. Do they get them for a week, 2 weeks, or do they say, I'll need this for a week, and then that's how we work? I'll need it for a month. How does that work?
Sure, good question. The checkout period is 1 week. And there are no renewals because it is first come, first serve. And so when the devices come back, the peers staff, Grace has been phenomenal. They have this process where they will check the device in, check the contents, and then they have to charge it up and make sure that the network name isn't reset. So it's not like you can go in and just say, okay, I'm done, now check it out to me again. Like there's a buffer waiting period. We did turn the device off after it was overdue for a week.
Commissioner Lee.
Are the school districts getting involved in any of this?
No, I am not working with the school districts. We did talk with 742 at one point because they did have some hot spots and were looking at the future of their program. And we let them know that, you know, they could let their students know if we had devices available, but we would not be able to hold them exclusively. They'd need to be open for the general public.
Mary.
Mr. Chair, do we have the same security controls over these devices as locally?
No, it's essentially, we ask that people abide by our acceptable use policy, but they are using their own device. And so we are letting them know our internet use policy. You know, they are responsible for the content that they're accessing, and because it is their own device, there's no filtering.
So they get that policy when they check it out?
Correct.
Okay. And then can we check when they turn it back in? What they were looking
history?
At?
No. And we don't save the browsing information between sessions here either.
And that works. So far, so good.
Do you have to have a credit card on that or anything?
No, it's your library card. We actually, surprisingly, have materials in the collection that cost more than these devices. A great courses kit, for example, can be $300. Book club kits.
Anything else for Jamie?
Yeah.
We can't unplug your
your kit.
It's whatever you said.
I know. Is there any liability concern if we have no control over the content of what they're watching, but we are providing the internet service for that?
So that's part of our internet policy, is that they're responsible for what they're looking at. And as well, when you sign up for a library card, you're agreeing that you're responsible for anything that you check out from the library, and we are not responsible for any damages that may occur. So that covers whether that CD gets stuck in your car CD player, or you are being not so smart in, you know, accessing malware.
But it cannot get back to us.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Promise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is our vendor who promised, but yes. The device itself is its own self-contained unit. It can't contaminate our environment here.
Anything else for Jamie? If not, thank you very much. Appreciate
the
information.
Thank you for the time.
Anything else in presentations at all?
Nope.
Okay. Staff reports. Executive Director, Karen.
All right. In addition to what's written here, we did meet on library development on the 17th. We're continuing to work on that within the leadership team. The last couple of meetings, we've looked at open hours and statistics like borrowers, circulation per scheduled open hour, internet sessions, door count, just to see where we're at in relation to where we were at when we set up the open hours targets back in 2015. We'll be talking more about that once we get to the end of our analysis. We, again, expect to bring that full analysis back to the board in October to talk about. We're also looking at alternative services options. In the current assessment plan, one of the options we talked about was a popular materials collection. No city has asked for the popular materials collection, but it was based off of a model out in Victoria, Minnesota. Where they have an express checkout library and they have moved to this new popular materials model and a more Apple technology focus. It's more like the Apple bar when you walk in. And they remodeled their library about 5 years ago in an effort to meet community needs. So we're hoping to maybe go out there and see what it actually looks like five years later.
Karen, Mr. Chair, Karen. What does popular materials mean?
In Victoria, it means that
what we have here.
Carver County system is where Victoria Library is housed, and they also have a floating collection similar to what Great River does over the 6-county area. In Victoria, because they had limited space, they decided to move to a non-floating collection, and everything that's on the shelf there is 6 months or newer. And so the only things coming in for holds are items that are outside of what would be in the collection. And then they also predicted that that space would need to be more technology focused. And so they hired people just for technology questions. And what they assumed isn't necessarily how it played out. I've been in contact with the director of the system there, who used to work at Great River a long time ago. And she went through each of their assumptions and what played out really well and what did not. And we're hoping we can learn from their experience in what we would put into the next iteration of the library development plan. So that's one of the service models we're looking at. Just in terms of what else we should be doing at Great River and what's coming down the pike, we need to look at what we're doing in relation to the trends in the library world and see where we fit. Like Wi-Fi hotspots might not have been possible 5 years ago. Now that we have fund development dollars, it's a pilot project we can launch and see how it works in a community that really needs it. So we're hoping that looking at alternative services will continue to expand what we know about how library service can best be delivered in Great River.
Thank you.
Yeah, good question, Mary. Thank you. Council Regional Public Library System Administrators, five of us met with Minnesota Department of Education last week. It was the state librarian, Jennifer Nelson, and then Caitlin, I think her last name is Grosswing. She is in government relations and in direct contact with the governor. So we were talking about legislative strategies around libraries and how to better fit with the mission and goal of the Department of Education and thinking about how to align strategies for next session. One of the pieces we talked about was some of our work with the LSTA grant in career and college readiness, like the MCIS database that we are currently offering through those grant funds, our work with the Somali Cultural Navigator, our work with the Achieve program in offering daycare provider services. And those are efforts that we are doing here locally that we might be able to do in other libraries or also talk about differently at the Department of Education and with people like the governor's office and legislators to find more funding streams within the state to support library services at the local level.
To expand those, Mr. Chair, to expand those to other locations, perhaps?
Well, or? Maybe, you know, not every solution fits every community, so I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all approach. I think the biggest challenge that I see within legislation and the Department of Education is we are early literacy, we are career and college readiness, and we do that without even thinking about it, and we don't know how to talk about it in a way that stakeholders at the Capitol understand. So the term career and college readiness is not bandied about a lot in the library community, but it's something that means something when you go down the road to workforce development or you're working with ABE. And so learning how to talk about what we're already doing so that we're not duplicating services and so that we're actually getting support for the services in a new way so that we can offer it to more people who need it. That's our hope. We'll be talking next week at the full meeting. There'll be, of the 12 regions, five will have new directors this year, so we're going through another turn of leadership at the state level. But we'll be talking about what our legislative strategies will be going into next session and how we can better build a relationship at the Department of Education.
All right, thank you. Anything else there, Karen, for that?
I have a couple of things on management reports for folks.
So moving on to 9.2, management reports. I'm assuming Aaron, Julie, Jay.
Anything want to update anything?
Or strategic planning, anything like that?
Okay. I think they're here for the action items.
Yep.
So
okay.
I do have, Aaron, I missed Aaron's strategic plan update, so we'll put those on the September packet. And I apologize for that. Brianne had put in there that we are working on the Elk River gift. One of the things I did not want to necessarily put in writing is something we've talked about, but we want the flexibility to change as the local needs change. We have talked about how that annuity will come in, and our plan is to use the current split that we use for regional dollars, 55% for collection, 25% for programs, 20% for marketing and communications at the local level with that gift to start, so that when the dollars do start coming in from the annuity, we can invest in the Elk River collection right out of the gate and add some programs and see how that works. The way it's annuitized, we expect we'll be seeing about $12,000 a year for the next 20 years for Elk River. And so we don't want to lock ourselves into doing it this way in 2019 and need it different in 10 years. But that's our initial plans as those dollars just start coming in.
So what does that mean? 50, the percentages you said.
55% will go toward collection efforts. Like Wi-Fi hotspots could be a collection effort. Like that's something we're circulating. So it could be a pretty broad definition, or it could be just all kids' books. It's what Robbie works with the local friends and board to figure out is needed. And then she and Brandy have already been talking about what story times might be offered or other programs through that 25% in programming, and then the marketing would support additional publicity around that.
But it would still be, even if we added to collection, that would be a home collection or no?
Probably. Yeah. It's not, it would still loan out. Like you could place a request on it potentially. Although, you know, like the Wi-Fi hotspots, we're not doing that. So it really depends on what it is. And maybe it's not requestable for 6 months, and then 6 months later it goes out because we don't want the collection to become stale either with specifically gifted funds.
So when would we expect a distribution?
I think we submitted the last bit of paperwork, didn't we, Erin? I can't remember where we're at with that.
Brianne and I are going to be sitting down, I believe, tomorrow or sometime this week, and finishing up the paperwork and sending that in. I would imagine, just depends on how fast River Source moves. I'm anticipating at least the first annuity payment probably this year yet. Just depends on how long it takes for them to process paperwork and stuff. But
we did want to discuss this just as a point of information for the board, and wanted to wait to get
any last feedback
before we finish that paperwork. So
overstepped.
Nope.
Sorry.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Building reports.
Building reports. I think these other
anything
two pieces
jump out at you? Anybody want to discuss from Cold Spring all the way? It looks like the last one is going to be Wade Park at this time.
Yep. Painesville, I don't think is in here because after we printed, we met with the city administrator. There is a local donor who's a local philanthropist, is very interested in creating an economic hub in the downtown of Painesville, which could be a new library building. And it could go fairly quickly. So we're just learning about possibilities right now. It was an interesting meeting. He's on vacation, but when he gets back, we should expect some movement on that discussion. Kimball is continuing to move forward. They got all their paperwork signed, and there will be a ribbon cutting on August 11th. Once we have invitations, we'll be sending those out, but if you are not busy on Sunday, August 11th, expect a big celebration in Kimball as we finally start breaking ground out there. It'll be great.
Okay. Second quarter stats to statistics.
The winter of 2019. Oh, go ahead. Mary,
has Mary, go ahead.
Our lease here? Are we being evicted or
no? That's an action.
We'll bring
later.
It. That's coming up too, Mary. So we're
thank you.
We're moving to your house.
No, we're not being evicted.
Bring your own lunch.
If you look at quarter two 2019, we're still seeing the repercussions of a polar vortex for the most part. Our online services are generally up. Chat reference, digital library, things like program attendance is still taking a pretty big hit from the programs that were canceled or not very heavily attended due to the weather earlier this year. Circulation, we had hoped it would start rebounding in June. It has not in most locations. That being said, we do have some big outliers like Piers. I was just out there last Wednesday. If you want to see a hopping library, go to Piers on Wednesday. It's a really awesome thing to see. And we do have other locations that are up. Richmond is up double digits this year, percentage-wise. So it seems like there's pockets of real success happening. We're continuing to watch those trends.
All right, moving forward. Human resource report.
commission report.
9.5.
Elizabeth Prell is going to be celebrating 30 years this year. I don't think she's come to a board meeting, but maybe we should make her do that. And then I'll point out, since he's here, Jay Roos will be celebrating his 20th anniversary this year, also in September. So. I think he's
like
the only other
miniature
person.
Miniature younger Ken. At him, I'm staring at him, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's what Ken looked like when he was younger. He was bald, he had a beard.
All right, moving on. Committee reports. Finance Committee. Now we can get over to Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You also received all of the information that the Finance Committee received, but basically we reviewed the operating fund here a half year, half of the year gone. We should be at about 50%, and we are almost at 48%, so that looks good. Our investments are strong at $6.8 million, and all signatories are paid up to this point. And then the second major item we approved is the 2020 budget proposal that is also on our agenda a bit later with a 1.12% increase. We also reviewed the 2018 fund designations progress report.
So I take that as a motion that you approve the finance.
I will move that, Mr.
Second.
Chair.
Second from Mike. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Personnel Committee, Jane?
In our meeting earlier this evening, we approved the holiday pay for the aides, that they will have the same as other eligible positions, will be paid the same amount as other eligible positions. There is a $15,000 cost for that, and that is already in the budget, and that was approved. And we also approved a policy for computer use. It was adopted also that that staff will not be able to use the computers during their regular hours, but they can use it on their personal hours as long as it's not excessive, inappropriate, and does not result in costs to GRRL. And we also got an update on paid time off by Julie, gave us a little bit of more information on that, and the it was just reviewed. There was no decisions made on that. It was just informational.
All right, so do we take that as your motion, Jane?
I would take that as my motion. Thank you.
All right, and I need a second.
I'll second. And then discussion.
Mary, seconded.
Discussion?
All those in favor?
Oh, wait, oh, discussion, Mr. Chair. So people can carry forward their PTO.
They can carry it forward up to, what was it, what did we say, 66 days?
66 days.
Maximum. Depending on years of service.
The carryover is dependent on years of service as well as how many hours you're scheduled to work each week. It's typically around a two-year accrual.
Okay. So we don't do use it or lose it?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for more discussion on that? Not. I had a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. Moving on to unfinished application for 501c3.
So
11.1.
This cover sheet in your pocket to approve it in concept. Patty has what is close to the final draft. We're still waiting for final edits from the legal counsel. So if anyone wants to look through it, certainly welcome to. Part of the application process, we will be filling out Form 5768 to report activities lobbying, which is not something we've normally done in the past. It won't create an issue because the amount we spend on it is minimal, and I think you can spend up to, I think it's 20 or 30% of your budget, which we will never do. So just know that that is an additional step that we will be taking that we haven't discussed in the past.
All right, I'll ask for a motion for more discussion.
Move approval.
All right, I need a second.
Second.
Any more discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. Next on the agenda is going to be 2020 budget proposal. That's going to be on page, what, 54, 57. I think?
55.
55.
This is the same budget we looked at in May with no changes. The Finance Committee did approve it. As Lisa said, it was a 1.12% change in expenditures. That is not how it shakes out at the signatory level. It's only a 0.05% total increase at the signatory level, but county by county, that may mean that the county share went up or down due to the formula. So Benton County is going down 8,000, Morrison County is going up 4,800, Sherburn County is going up 7,700, Stearns down 3,300, Todd down $756, and Wright is going up $3,000 for a net change of $3,329. And that information is on page 65 if you wanted to look at it further.
I'm going to be asking for a motion to approve the 2020 budget proposal.
So moved.
I have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now to the lease agreement, St. Cloud Library.
This is a moving target. In front of you on the table is the version we finally got from the city last week. Did want to put it in front of you.
Say that again.
We got a version from the city last week.
Wow. Doesn't say we got one that's approved. We just got a version.
All right. There are still concerns. One area of concern I have that we've been emailing back and forth about is they would like to make a statement that the city of St. Cloud does not have maintenance of effort, and that's on page 4. It's confusing, but they really do have maintenance of effort, so we cannot approve an agreement that is in contradiction to state law. The biggest switch, there's two. On page 2, instead of 20% overhead, what we currently pay, they would move the overhead fee to 25% of total costs. The other change to our existing agreement is they continue to propose that the automated materials handling system, the maintenance, would be phased in, and this is page 5. Right now it's split 82%, the city pays, 18% Great River pays. Their proposal is for the first 5 years of the agreement, 2024, the city would pay half, and then after that, maintenance would be fully Great River's, with Great River assuming all financial responsibility for the AMHS. That's different than what the city administrator and I had discussed. So those are the two points we would not agree to, I don't believe, but I would be interested in getting some feedback on the AMHS issue in particular.
So what I'm going to ask for is a motion to second. Doesn't mean we're approving or not. We'll just move on to ask more discussion. So I'll need a motion and a second.
What?
What'd you say?
For the St. Cloud Library lease. I'm just asking. But again, we're just asking for it, and then we'll ask for a discussion. Just because you make a motion does not mean that you're for the
application. So we could make a motion to consider the proposal.
Yep. So again, I'll need a motion.
Randy. Couldn't we have discussion before the motion?
Well, technically, you were supposed to, because we don't get a motion, we don't have a discussion.
Can we do both? You can do it either way.
So if you guys want to have a discussion before then, that's fine with me. But we're still going to ask for a motion in a second, regardless. So Ed says that we request that we have a discussion, so... Let's see what we have. Ed, do you have anything to say about it at this time, or do you want to kind of look at it a little closer?
Well, I've been looking at it. I looked at it before.
Yep.
Well, we have not all seen it.
Yeah, right.
So, I move the table list.
Yeah, that may be a good idea.
Second.
I have a motion to table it until...
Take it off the table.
Take it off the table.
Until kingdom come.
Well, you know, I mean, at the appropriate time, we're going to know.
Yep.
But I don't want to lock staff or I don't want to lock anybody in to a specific date.
Okay, I have a motion to table it to appoint
future
dates. And I have a second from Mike. Those in favor?
Discussion. Discussion.
Discussion.
No, you don't discuss
motion.
Discussion motion to table.
We're tabling it, so there's no discussion anymore.
Oh, well.
Unless you want to make, you can make a motion to bring it forward, too, if you want.
Well, when do we get to talk about it?
Whenever we bring it off the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not evicted.
And then you get to read it, too.
Yeah.
I better go get my Robert's Rules again. All right, then. Thank you. Sorry.
No problem.
If you have specific feedback, we are in current discussion on this, so feel free to send me any insights you might have.
All right. I have a motion from Lee to table it.
Okay.
Right? And, Michael seconded.
I have a whole book at home. Thank you very much.
Those in favor, by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. Anything else under unfinished business? New business. Policy revision, 12.1.
Are you going to do this one? Why aren't you here?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh. Jay and Aaron
might as well make the best of me since I'm here. So we have grown our credit card acceptance options over time. We take credit card payments for fines on the web. We take credit card payments at our self-checkout terminals in every library. And we also take some donations on the web as well. One of the things the credit card industry wants is for us to have policies and procedures and measures in place to protect ourselves, cardholders, and the industry from fraud. If you don't have those things in place, your liability goes up if something does happen. And our one of our providers put some tools in place so we could assess where we are at. And what we learned was we are, in taking cards in our facilities, we have the best, most secure option that's available. However, to be fully compliant, we need some policies in order to meet those requirements, and those are what are in front of you tonight. So these are policies to bring us into compliance with payment card industry data security standards, and then there's a little bit of reorganizing some policies to make a better sense of the technology policy structure.
Policy revisions, Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion. I need a second. I have a second. Any more discussion? Is this something that we had our attorney take a look at or somebody to make sure we're in compliance with everything, even though?
Most of the policy here is boilerplate that the industry actually recommends for us. We've changed some of the terminology. We don't have customers. We have patrons, for example. And we, you know, a lot of it was fill in the blank stuff.
Thanks for that. So I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Security.
These policy updates are similar to what we did with the other policies in March. We just held security so that the Library Safety and Security Committee could take a look at it before we presented it to the board. So the Library Safety and Security Committee has reviewed the changes. Primarily, it's the addition of the introduction, and then actual roles and responsibilities for patrons are added. A lot of the existing policy was about what staff would do. So this is all pretty straightforward. If you have questions, I can answer those.
All right. That would be also an action item. I'll ask for a motion.
Move.
Mary, second?
I'll second.
All right, Jane. Any more discussion on the security? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Board open forum. Zeria?
Nothing.
All right, Ed? Lisa?
We hired a new administrator. So he will start Bruce Messelt, who comes to us from Chisago, current administrator there. He will start with us August 19th.
So Chisago will be looking for a new administrator.
They will.
The dominoes continue.
The domino.
We also just hired someone from another county also for our assessor. And they were from, trying to think where they're from.
Well, thanks a lot, Lisa.
I know.
Jane.
Stay cool, and the Sherburne County Fair is in town this weekend, if anybody's interested.
Lisa? Mary?
I have nothing. Thank you.
I have nothing either.
Okay, Mike?
Congratulations to Sherburne County. Bruce is a fantastic person. I think they did an awesome job. He was by far my number one person if I was sitting on that board to get. And kudos to Mr. Bravender. He is considering putting his hat in the ring to be new commissioner of District 5. Good luck, and he'll be a great addition to the board should he choose to run.
And win.
Lee?
He's embarrassed. What are you blushing for?
And win.
And win, that part.
Charlie Burrell.
Charlie's seat? Is he running?
No, he's done.
Lee, anything?
I just like the idea that apparently some of the branches are going ahead and differentiating themselves a bit from others because the needs are different. If you don't want that, the downside of that, and if you don't want this to happen, you can take action on it. But sooner or later, somebody's going to be convinced that one branch is getting something that somebody else isn't. Well, there's some risk in that, but I think it's a risk worth taking. The other side of that is, hey, not all brilliant ideas happen here.
Yeah, Dan.
In the field.
I look for big changes in 2020 in Wright County.
Is that your slogan?
It's a campaign slogan.
It's a campaign slogan.
Do we get
Boom.
T-shirts or anything?
Jeff.
Thank you.
Brian, you been quiet anything?
I'm still quiet.
Okay.
You got a haircut.
Myself, I hope everybody had a great summer and what's left of it. Again, the time passes quickly. So again, hope you have a great summer. What's left of it. And we'll see you in September is our next meeting.
September 17th.
So we do not have a meeting in August. Uh-huh. Anything else? Mm-hmm. I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion.